Podcast.
Chloe!
You're listening to...
me.
Corn on the Cob. I forgot the name of the podcast.
I just snorted.
I hope you guys are doing well, and I hope it's your pay week. I'm going to say that to you every Thursday.
I just hope you get so much money every Thursday.
Every Thursday, Friday, it's time for you to make some money.
Get that bread.
The mantra is money comes easily and frequently to me, and you repeat that in your head and write it in your journal, and it'll happen. Work on your manifestation, kids.
Yeah, man.
No, for real.
Chaos magic. Everything exists because you want it to.
Hell yeah.
Bend shit to your will with your mind.
Burn some sage. Cleanse your closet for creativity.
Responsibly source sage.
That's true, yeah.
Go to a powwow and get some.
Or, yeah.
Plus, they're really cool to go to.
I think you can dry your own sage, too.
Yeah. Have fun gardening, you witch bitch.
It was kind of aggressive.
I didn't mean it aggressive. I would have said it nicer, it wouldn't have had the same punch.
Witch bitch.
You witch bitch.
Witch bitch is my new Instagram name now.
That'd be a fucking good one. I bet it's taken.
It's very taken.
It's totally taken.
And I have to theme my Instagram. I went on a hiatus. Now I'm back
for a
very long time. People didn't believe me whenever I said. I just deleted all my shit. I'm coming the fuck back, and my Instagram's gonna be pink, and y'all are gonna like it.
Your whole room's pink, and it's kind of great.
Yeah,
it's all
like
aesthetically
it.
Pleasing, so with you all dressed in black and shit.
And we're like, I'm not right now, but I usually wear 10 pounds of eyeliner.
That's amazing.
All right. Sorry, guys. Welcome to our podcast. Happy
Hello-y.
Thursday.
It's me. I'm Harlow, and I'm going to read my story first, because it's my turn. I'm doing my story that's about 45 minutes away from where we're at now.
Yeah.
That's vague enough.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how this goes. But I covered one case. Might turn into two, but vaguely related. So, this case happened on September 20th of 2010. And the location of where everything took place was 88 Reynolds Road, which is east on Highway 82, past the intersection of 1417. It is, like, just slightly south and west of where Knollwood is. For anyone who knows where that is, congrats. So, I'm going to talk about the victims real fast. There's not a whole bunch initially, but I did digging, and I found more, so we'll see. So, this is what I found. So, on September 20th, 2010, Misty and Cassandra Ballou, as well as Brian Ritchie, were found. Why do you give me that face?
My stepdad knew him.
Are you fucking
kidding
me?
I know this case.
No shit?
I know this case. I looked at your title and I knew which one it was.
You will know shit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck.
I know a lot of stuff.
You're gonna have to tell me.
Okay.
You're gonna absolutely fucking have to tell me.
I was gonna cover this, man.
Damn, this is good.
Yeah,
this is really good. Okay. So...
wow.
Misty and Cassandra Ballou were found dead inside the home that was burning, as well as Brian Ritchie. Misty Ballou was 25 at the time of her death. She had one child. Her sister, Cassandra, was 28. She had two children and was pregnant at the time. And the third victim, Brian Ritchie, he lived in the house with Misty. He was 30 at the time of his death. There's honestly not a whole bunch of, like, news coverage on Brian Ritchie at fucking all. And the most you can get is from his obituary, and it said he enjoyed hunting and fishing, and he worked at his dad's auto body shop. But that's literally every dude in this area fits that description.
His family has nothing because of...
you'll find out. And, like, there, we'll get to that at the end of after I cover all this. So, what happened was this house was on fire on Reynolds Road, and as someone was driving by, they called, of course, 911. After first responders got to the fire, the bodies of Misty, Cassandra, and Brian were all found inside. Brian had suffered, blunt and sharp force trauma and had multiple gunshot wounds. Misty was shot several times, and Cassandra had been stabbed multiple times and shot once. They also discovered that there was accelerant used in multiple places inside of the home, which I listened to that new audio chuck Counterclock talking about like the fire homicide case. And I think they mentioned that when an accelerant's used in multiple places, it's more likely to be a dude doing it. Because female arsonists tend to freak out when there's a whole bunch of fire at once or something like that. Don't quote me. I might have heard it wrong. But anyway. Let's see. And when investigations were done inside of the house, like after they found out, like, hey, this is going to be a homicide investigation, the Grayson County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff's deputy, Ricky Wheeler says that the sheriff's office had contacted the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives Agency. Later, I'm just going to call that ATF for short. So they contacted them to investigate. They had a canine unit as well as access to like technology and stuff that is not available in town because.
It's a very small city.
Yeah, it's not meant to look up at shit like this. So the sheriff's office also got help from the Texas Rangers, and they were given permission to use their forensic labs down in Garland and Austin. So in total, despite, which I usually, whenever a house is put out because of fire, you usually lose a whole bunch of evidence.
Yeah.
They found about 110 pieces of potential evidence.
Oh, wow.
So they still found a whole lot.
And it's still unsolved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's real upsetting. So they found all that evidence, took it from the scene, and they interviewed over, like, a dozen people. Wheeler said that ATF began its investigation, and they said that the fire was intentionally deprived of oxygen because they said it was intentionally deprived of oxygen because all the doors and all the windows were shut inside the house. But honestly, this happened in, like, September. It's fucking cold in September. Everything's going to be shut anyway, so I don't...
I don't think that was an intentional thing. I think they burnt the house down to get rid of evidence. Yeah, like, no. Everybody else burns house down.
I don't think the doors and anything shut had anything to do with it. I think they were shut anyway, and it was still burned down fucking regardless.
Yeah.
So as of 2015, and that's essentially all that's happened.
Yeah.
Like that's the information on the entire case.
Yeah.
Nothing has come from it. As of 2015, so like 5 years ago, the investigation is active and ongoing, but, still now 10 years later, there's no news of a person of interest or any arrests made in relation to the murders or even the arson.
I just know the avenues that they could look at, like, mm-hmm. because I just know somebody, like, someone very close to me worked with him,
mm-hmm.
and, like, Brian, like, has a background.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a
second.
And
that's okay, but, like... Mm-hmm.
There's very obvious things they could look into that
would lead to this. And if they would look into his background, they could find the things
that... And honestly,
that...
it's not just him.
I don't think, I really don't know how much this will stand because mm-hmm. I don't think.
If anything else, we can vaguely touch on it in a second.
Yeah, because, like, I just have to tell you now because I can't stop thinking about it. Okay. But, like, Brian was a fucking good guy. And he never, like, sorry.
It's okay. So, the Ballou family had gotten over 1,000 signatures on this petition to urge the sheriff's department or the sheriff's office to cooperate with TV shows like Cold Case. Nothing has come from that yet. It's literally just, hey, all these people want you to do this thing, and they can obviously choose to ignore it if they want. The Ballou family was also contacted by the Justice Riders in Fannin County. Then they're the group that also rode for Jennifer Harris, the woman who was found in the Red River, and they also attended the small memorial that the father held for the sisters and, like, supported their family and advocated for trying to get the case solved.
Yeah.
So, as I kind of mentioned, there's a bit more on Brian Ritchie. I only saw So there was this Facebook post on a page called Grayson County News, and it was from August 12th of 2018. And it mentions just vaguely of Brian Ritchie's drug-related criminal record. And I was like, I didn't get put much weight on it because literally reading all my articles, I didn't see anything that just suggested that it was drug related at all. It literally, every article seems like it's, oh, these people were murdered and it was set on fire. And that's the extent of it. So I decided to go to the Grayson County judicial records and I looked up everything. And it starts with May 4th in 1998. He was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and criminal mischief. And I'm going to preface this by saying that whenever you're reading the case files for all of these, there's a lot of jargon that I don't understand, and I had to look up a bunch of it to understand what it means. And then there's also a lot of appeals for probation times and stuff. So the actual sentence time links for a bunch of these may not be correct.
It's really hard reading people's records. I look up people's records from high school all the time.
Yeah. I remember you telling me.
I know. Guys, I know. I know everything. And I saw that party you all got busted at for underage drinking.
Oh, no shit. That's on there?
Yep.
Fuck yeah. Anyway, that's good. So the actual sentencing times may not be correct, but all of the charges that are listed were things he did go to court for and were charged with. Whether he was guilty or not, I don't actually know for sure. But the ones I have listed, I was, like, pretty sure. So, okay, again, May 4th of 98, he was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and criminal mischief. He got 5 years probation and 120 hours of community service.
Damn, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. And also,
That's a lot.
Yeah, and I should specify that probation is different than parole.
Parole is, like, usually violent crime.
Yeah, parole is, probation is essentially swapping out a jail sentence for just being monitored all the time.
Oh, yeah, I misunderstood. Yeah. Yeah, because you'll trade, I know
parole
somebody.
Parole is for getting out of jail early and you stay on parole.
And then you stay on parole for, like, infinite amount of time.
Yeah, I didn't know that when I was looking up, so I had a double
check. I always thought parole was for something really violent crime, but I guess that means, yeah, you're right, because you serve time, because I know somebody who's on probation right now.
So, 5 years probation, 120 hours of community service. Fast forward to January 14th of 99, he was found guilty of burglary and sentenced to 7 years of probation and 240 hours of community service. A fuck ton, and it just compounds. So essentially he's got 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years probation right now, and 360 hours community service. I'm not gonna do this with all of them because I'm bad at math. On June 29th, I didn't write that year for some reason, he was charged with possession of a controlled substance less than a gram, guilty, 5 years probation, 120 hours community service. And then on February 25th of 2000, he was charged with aggravated kidnapping and sentenced to 10 years probation. So he's, I was going to mention it because I saw it right here. There were appeals made to change his probation times. And in that, he lost a handful of years. And he was also required to take anger management classes.
Sounds like he needs them.
Yeah, so that's the extent of him. There's only really four big things, but that's it. And it mentioned in the article that I read that seemed like it was his drug-related issues and his problems that would have contributed to, like, the murder and stuff. But because he lived with Misty Ballou, I went ahead and checked her records just because, they lived together. And please do not take this as me trying to give the victims, like ruining their good name or whatever. This just honestly adds more to the case and helps try to figure out what the actual fuck is going on.
Well, especially if they're thinking, like you mentioned previously, they're thinking that this is a drug crime.
Well, it was mentioned in, like, one Facebook post instead of, like, articles. Alexis freaking the fuck out.
I just totally believe it's a drug crime.
No,
I think it's a gang related
crime,
actually.
You will see more as I read these, like, criminal records.
Yeah, I think it's a gang related drug crime.
So, with Misty Ballou, hers started on August 4th of 2002. She gets a DWI, 180 days in jail, and probation for 2 years. September 8th. I didn't write the year. She's charged with theft, gets probation for a year, 40 hours community service, and it looks like there was something additional to the probation and the community service, but I couldn't figure out what the code meant, so I just didn't write it down, because court jargon. July 8th, 2002, she gets charged with possession of prescription drugs, illegal titties.
Harlow made the titty mistake this time.
I slipped the titties. Nip slip. So, October 24th, 2003, she gets charged with marijuana possession. Oh, darn. Whoa. So scary.
Oh,
the
no.
Drug is the marijuana. Anyway, and possession of a controlled substance. Probation 6 years, 160 hours community service.
Is the controlled substance not the weed?
No. It lists, so when I was looking at them, it lists specifically when it was marijuana and when it was a controlled substance.
Huh.
So I don't know the difference.
I just have a, yeah, that's stupid.
That's dumb. So it looked like she got the probation down to 5 years and had to go to rehab for a year. It mentioned a rehab facility.
Interesting.
Yeah. Her last charge is possession of a dangerous drug on September 7th, 2008, and it looked like she was sentenced to 30 days in, like, jail.
Did you look up any examples of what a dangerous drug is considered to be?
But so like far we have three different classifications. We have just the marijuana, which by itself, a controlled substance, there's prescription drugs, four, and then a dangerous drug. Misty Ballou's criminal record was way longer than Brian Ritchie's, and it made that one post made it look like he was, like, the one responsible for everything. So I was like, okay, well, if that's Misty, I went ahead and looked at Cassandra.
Oh, I found something.
Okay, go for it.
So while the name may be confusing, there are clear differences between dangerous drugs and scheduled controlled substances under Texas law. There are drugs in both categories that can only be legally possessed with a prescription. Dangerous drugs, however, include drugs that are not as strictly restricted. So like Xanax and Valium, which are really commonly abused.
That's
drugs.
Really weird because she has one for prescription drugs and this one's just
this must
separate.
Have been like, on the other hand, controlled substances include most addictive substances. They include street drugs like heroin or methamphetamine. So her controlled substance could be morphine, heroin, morphine, heroin, methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dangerous drug.
Mm-hmm.
Could be like Xanax, sounds like a pill, Xanax, Valium, muscle relaxer, anxiety medications and stuff
gotcha.
Like that.
Okay.
Interesting. That's complicated.
Yeah, it's so fucking complicated. So again, I read into Cassandra's records as well, and hers was, she's the oldest sister, and hers is the longest by far.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So July 22nd, 99, she got charged with manufacture and delivery of a controlled substance.
Straight up drug dealer.
It was like manufacturer / delivery, so one of them. Controlled substance with, there's another code. I didn't understand what it meant. She got 5 years probation after a $5,000 bond. On April 27th of 2000, Cassandra got charged with minor in possession of an alcoholic beverage. Which is fucking everyone does that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I saw your criminal
true.
Records, guys. I know you all do it.
Yeah, it's fine. she was jailed for 3 or 4 days. November 20th of 2000, evading arrest using a vehicle. I think it was 2 years in jail, but on 5,000 bonds, she got out of county jail in like 6 days or something like that. There's a lot of bond mentions in mm-hmm. hers, and it's really confusing for me, so I'm just kind of mentioning everything. Let's see, on May 7th of 2000, she got charged with, and this is how it's written, so excuse me, abandoned endangered child criminal negligence.
Okay.
2 years jail with a $5,000 bond.
2 years for child abandonment?
Yeah, 5 years probation and 120 hours community service. That same time, she got charged with unauthorized use of a vehicle, and an additional, like, 17 days straight jail time. So, the same time she got charged with the child endangerment thing, she was unauthorized to use a vehicle or something.
That's just, they're just tacking on charges. Yeah. Like, they see that you have a record and they just tack on bullshit.
And, like, with all of them, of course, there's, like, minor, like, someone was speeding, someone wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Like, they all had that stuff, too.
Yeah, of course,
too.
Yeah.
I just, it wasn't important. Worth mentioning. On February 27th of 2001, marijuana possession, evading arrest, 180 days in county jail, and 2 years, I think I meant 2 years probation.
Jeez.
January 16th, 2005, theft by check, 180 days in jail. February 11th, 2005, theft, $1,500, 180 days in jail. January 31st, 2005, forgery of a financial instrument, 7 years. July 16th, 2005, marijuana possession, 7 years. January 18th.
These weed possession ones are so fucking stupid.
They're absolutely fucking ridiculous. January 18th, 2005, theft by check, 7 years. May 16th, 2005, possession of a controlled substance, 7 years. March 2nd, 2005, burglary of a habitation, 7 years. I don't know if all those 7 years are just probation or jail time, because it doesn't sound like it, but that's what it was listed, so I didn't say what it was. And that's all about them. And there has been nothing in any article that I have read, which, sorry, it looks like it's drug-related. I'm going to say that right now.
I can attest. I think it's 112% drug-related, and they actually think it's a drug-related, gang-related crime.
And, like, even if it is, like, I'm sorry, you need to get these people either rehab. So, because if they're making or selling drugs, probably going to use them themselves. I'm not counting weed. Weed doesn't fucking count.
Weed's not a drug.
Weed's fine. But if they're in anything worse than that, instead of giving them just fucking probation, hey, give them, like, rehab, like What's-Her-Face had. Give them, like, safe options to, like, get the fuck out or whatever.
Well, like, it's just so unfortunate because my mom really wanted me to cover this story. I was actually kind of scared, too, because of what I think happened, which I don't think I really feel comfortable totally opening up about that.
No, that's fine. Don't.
But I just knew Brian and my family knew him, so, like, because my stepdad worked for his dad, and they worked together for a long time, and my stepdad was kind of devastated when the kid died.
I remember your dad worked with the, I don't want to say it, but, like, he worked at the auto shop.
He worked at the auto shop, and it's, like, I don't know, it's like, I don't know, it was, like, I was talking to her about it, and she was like, you've got to cover it because Brian's family has nothing.
Yeah, and, like, that's the thing is, like, he gets Brian Ritchie absolutely gets no fucking coverage in any of, like, the articles, anything on the news, because it's about the girls. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking tragic, because, no, he died. He lost his life in this whole thing that they did.
Well, and I think that a lot of people blame him because he was clearly the target because of the blunt force trauma and the stabbing.
Yeah, he got the excessive amount of everything.
And it's... And even though he might have been, and I think he was, and I do unfortunately think that the women were collateral damage, I'm glad that Harlow read their criminal history, because now you guys know why this is an assault case, whenever it should be a assault case, because people don't care about people who are addicts or have criminal backgrounds.
Or even, like, sex workers or whatever.
Yeah, because, and it's so unfortunate because these are people, and... My stepdad knew this guy and, you know, like, really liked him. And, like, he was really nice.
Like, believe it or not, criminals, like, there's that fucking, I literally saw a photo set, but it was, like, the Wreck-It Ralph dude and, like, this picture above about this dude locked his kids in the car and these prisoners working, like, day whatever thing.
Day labor. And
yeah, day labor, yanked the fucking lock out and got his kid out of the car because he locked him in there. Like, just because, like, yeah, you're a bad person because you do drugs or sell them or whatever, doesn't mean you're actually a bad person.
And also, like, it's just, I mean, in this area, mark it up to fucking poverty and having nothing to do.
Like,
it sounds like she was doing check theft, and that's because you don't have money.
Like, no shit. Like, you drive down downtown back streets, like, where all the houses and stuff are, you'll see the main roads, like, oh yeah, those are nice houses, but you drive behind them and I shit you not, like, every house is
dilapidated, super
fucking old. There's junk out in front yards. Like, it, like, this is everywhere in this town.
Yeah.
Like, everywhere.
And poverty is a thing in this town, and drug use and meth is a problem in this town. I saw someone nodding on heroin whenever I was, like, 10 at the local gas station in the town we're from. And, like, it's scary. And we, like, this place used to be a meth capital of Texas. And it's unfortunate because I want to know how many more crimes we don't know anything about because people are addicts and that's a disease. And
they just don't look into
it. And they don't care.
It's so fucking upsetting because, like, literally in this town is the home of, it has its own police department, but it also houses the entire county's police department.
Yeah.
There is no excuse for them to, like, not have the resources to look into this.
110 pieces of evidence, and that's, you know, I'm gonna say what Jensen and Hull say all the time, is the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and, you know, there wasn't enough noise made for them, and they're victims too, and they're important people, and they had families. Like, and
they all had children. They all had families that counted on them. They all worked. They had jobs. They lived lives. Like, just because they died and they did some, like, slightly shady stuff doesn't excuse the fact that we're overlooking that. No, they died and they deserve to have justice.
And they died horribly.
Yeah.
They died horribly. Horribly. And, like, someone came into their house, probably multiple people, and hurt them. And lit the house on fire, and it's a horrific, horrific thing, and it's just, like, people, like, I don't want to say they did bad things, but they did. They stole, and they robbed, but there's still people, and we still make mistakes, because if you're gonna fucking judge people on every drug charge they have, then every other fucking 16-year-old in America is a bad fucking person. Because we, like, I haven't, but, like, people get busted with weed all the fucking time.
Yeah, and it's fucking ridiculous.
It's, yeah.
And it's, the whole case is just so upsetting because it's been 10 years so far, and, like, again, 110 pieces of evidence. They did a dozen plus interviews with people, and, like, you're telling me that that's not enough to find a lead or have a person of interest or anything.
If they do have a person of interest, it's never been announced.
Yeah, and they're probably not going to.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm salty.
It's a really sad, really sad thing.
Fucking sad. And I'm sorry that's how this whole story is, but, like, unfortunately, that's just a lot of cases that aren't solved. Or either, like, they're like this. It's because people have just slightly criminal backgrounds and people just, oh, they're criminals, and just brush them aside.
And then just don't care. And that's not the case. They have entire families and they've struggled, like, just like you have.
Everybody deserves justice and every family deserves to have answers.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't even, like, that's another thing that drives me crazy is that their family deserves to have answers.
They deserve a closing to know what exactly happened to their kids, their, like, brothers or sisters.
Yeah.
Their parents.
Yeah, like, they, yeah, it's horrible. Okay, everybody. Harlow and I talked about how people who are addicted to drugs deserve a chance in life. And I'm gonna tell you about lightning.
Lightning?
Are you ready, Harlow?
I'm very ready.
All right.
Because I have no idea what this is.
Lightning! All right. This is my boyfriend Brian's favorite story, and I wanted to save it, but I really want him to listen to the podcast.
Oh, so this is how you're gonna sucker him
into
it?
And I'm gonna make him do it, not tell him what episode it is.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. He listened, but he's just, like,
he gets bored easy.
Being supportive of me, and I'm like, but Harlow's doing it too, so you have to listen to Harlow's story.
Yeah, you have to listen to me.
Because Harlow's really good at it. Okay. So the odds of being struck by lightning in 1 year in the U.S. is 1 in 700,000.
Okay?
The odds of getting struck... Damn it.
The one guy?
Yeah. So the odds of getting struck by lightning in your entire lifetime are 1 in 3,000.
Okay.
Being struck by lightning can cause cardiac arrest, or it can just, like, straight up kill you. And injuries from lightning can be anything from burns to memory loss to brain damage or personality change.
Some people get these really cool scars.
Really cool scars.
It's super low key
want to get struck by lightning.
Stung by lightning. It's like
just a little beat,
like, a little
just,
zap.
Like, maybe like on my temple, like a cool tattoo.
Fucking Harry Potter.
Oh no, that's not what I meant. Harry Potter's banned in this house.
Yeah, it's
illegal. I don't believe in witches. Burn sage in my closet.
Wearing a Ouija board shirt. Oh, yeah.
I have, like, a whole entire, like, witch kit in my room right now.
That's fine.
Okay. 10% of people struck by lightning are killed, and 70% suffer long-term effects, and 400 people survive being struck by lightning a year in the U.S.
So 400 unlucky people are just getting zippy zapped.
Just getting fucked, dude. So I'm going to tell you about a man who's gotten fucked, dude, a lot.
Okay, I'm so excited.
This is Roy Sullivan. He was born in Virginia in 1912 and was the fourth of 11 children.
Holy hell.
It was 1912.
Yeah, I'd say he's a ton of kids.
Growing up in the Blue Ridge Mountains and familiarized with the area, Sullivan joined the Civilian Conservation Corps and helped build what would become the Shenandoah National Park, where he worked as a park ranger from 1936 until his retirement in question mark.
I love him.
Because I forgot to follow up. Dude, do you know who Gene Hackman is?
The name's very familiar.
He was in the Royal Tenenbaums. I'll show you a picture of him.
Okay.
That's what I was about to start saying. Roy Sullivan literally looked exactly like him. So much like him that the Wikipedia article mentioned it.
Oh my god.
So I'll do a side-by-side for you guys on Instagram. Maybe the website too. Here's Gene Hackman.
Okay.
And here is Roy Sullivan.
I can kind of.
They're both old men.
He looks like someone else, though, and I cannot think of who it is.
He's great. And look how old he is. Look how old he was, like, working in the park.
I love him.
Okay. While working in the national park, Sullivan was struck by lightning.
Nobody.
You want to guess how many times?
I think I know how many times.
Seven.
Oh.
Seven.
I was going to say three.
Seven times.
How?
And they were all documented.
What the fuck?
So I literally, like, I just copied and pasted the lightning strikes from Wikipedia because this is what was making Brian cry. And I mean, Brian is like, I don't know, like, have you met, you've met Brian? He's so
soft.
He's such
a chill, soft dude,
and
yeah.
And so quiet. And he was crying, and I have never seen it before. So it was like the most beautiful experience in our relationship.
Oh my god.
So the first... I'm already laughing. I'm so sorry. This poor guy.
I'm so excited.
The first lightning strike occurred in April of 1942. Mm-hmm. He was hiding from a thunderstorm in a fire lookout tower. The tower was newly... He was hiding from it.
In a tall tower.
Yeah. Okay. Well, not a... Yeah. The tower was newly built and had no lightning rod at the time, and it was hit 7 or 8 times. Inside the tower, quote, fire was jumping all over the place. Sullivan ran out... Listen, Sullivan, though I think it's funny that the fire tower got light on fire, lit on
it's
fire.
It's been struck like 7 or 8 times, and that's your go-to place. Yes.
Maybe that was God deciding how many times he's going to get struck by lightning.
God, okay.
I just said lightning's plural. Sullivan ran out, and just a few feet away, he received what he considered to be his worst lightning strike. Because he's had seven of them. He's had a whole lot of them.
Oh, buddy.
It burned a half-inch strip all along his right leg, hit his toe, and left a hole in his shoe.
Oh.
He was hit again in July of 1969.
Ayy, nice.
Unusually, he was hit while in his truck, driving on a mountain road. The metal body... I'm sorry, I just remembered what...
Oh, no.
The metal body of the vehicle normally protects people in such cases. As this, by acting as like a Faraday cage.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but we're in like elementary school, we got to see this video of this woman like sitting in like a car and lightning striking it, and it like, you know, saved her.
But yeah, yeah.
And, the lightning hit nearby trees and was deflected into an open window at his car, in his truck rather, and striked and knocked Sullivan unconscious and burned off his eyebrows and eyelashes. And set his hair on fire.
I'm trying so hard not to lose my goddamn mind. Oh, this poor bastard.
And you know what? The uncontrolled truck kept moving and stopped near a cliff edge.
He could have died. He was unconscious and driving?
Yes, because like in the... The lightning was like...
It's just... Roll up your windows, it's raining, you asshole. Like,
this poor guy.
I should be so mean to him because he looks so nice. But God damn it.
Okay. In July of 1970, Sullivan was struck while in his front yard. The lightning hit a nearby power transformer. Like, it's like God getting, like, a really lucky, like, basketball hoop. Like, you know how, like...
I was about to be like, Kobe, but that's very untimely.
No. R.I.P. Black Mamba, but like a basket, and then it rolls around the rim for a little bit, and then it goes in, and that's just God going, yeah,
God, Scottie Pippen, fucker. That's two in a row. That's bounced off shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
In spring of 1972, Sullivan was working inside a ranger station in Shenandoah National Park when another strike occurred. It set his hair on fire. And he tried to smother the flames with his jacket. He then rushed to the restroom, but he couldn't fit under the water tap. So he used a wet towel instead. Although he was never a fearful man, after the fourth...
I would be!
After the fourth strike, he began to believe that some force was trying to destroy him, and he acquired a fear of death. I would, too.
You've been struck by lightning four fucking times.
Whatever, he was caught in a storm while driving in his truck. He would pull over and lie down in the front seat until the storm passed.
Smart. Okay.
He also began to believe that he would somehow attract lightning if he even stood in a crowd of people. And carried That's a can fair. Of water with him in so case put his, out hair his hair was set on fire.
Buddy, I love this poor old man.
Whenever Brian read me that,
I would be crying.
There were like tears going down his like precious little face. It was so funny. On August 7th, 1973, while he was out on patrol in the park, Sullivan saw a storm cloud forming and drove away quickly.
Good job. Good. Uh-oh.
But remember, it's on this list for a reason. But the clown, he said later, seemed to be following him.
He was right. It follows him.
When he finally thought he had outrun it, he decided it was safe to leave his truck. Soon after, he was struck by a lightning bolt. Sullivan stated that he actually saw the bolt that hit him. The lightning moved down his left arm and left leg and knocked off a shoe, then crossed over to his right leg just below the knee. Still conscious, Sullivan crawled to his truck and poured the can of water, which he always kept there, over his head, which was on fire.
It's a good thing he had that fucking water stand to keep it in his fucking truck. We're laughing at him, but that's the smartest move. Oh, my fucking God. I can't breathe.
All right.
Oh, fuck. This poor motherfucker. Oh, okay. Okay.
The next strike, on June 5th, 1976, injured his ankle. It was reported that he saw a cloud, thought it was following him, tried to run away, but was struck anyway.
Mm-hmm.
His hair was also caught on fire.
What the fuck? How is he just not permanently bald? This poor motherfucker! He's like that generic ass cartoon where you stick your finger in a socket and your hair fucks up.
So fun.
Oh my God.
Next strike. God. Oh, I'm sorry. On Saturday morning, June 25th, 1977, Sullivan was struck while fishing in a freshwater pool. The lightning hit the top of his head. Set his hair on fire,
traveled down,
burnt his chest and stomach. Sullivan turned to his car when something unexpected occurred. A bear.
In his car?
No, it was like he was walking to his car.
No, you gotta finish.
A bear approached the pond and tried to steal trout from his fishing line.
What are you saying?
Sullivan then had the strength and courage to strike the bear with a tree branch. And he claimed that it was his 22nd time he hit a bear with a stick in his lifetime. All seven of these lightning strikes were reported by the Shenandoah superintendent. So they were documented lightning strikes.
I want to know what he's doing and smacking bears with sticks.
Here's another thing.
Oh my God.
Apparently, Sullivan's wife was also struck by lightning.
Oh, honey.
When she was hanging clothes out to dry, mm-hmm. like a thunderstorm suddenly appeared, Sullivan made it out okay.
Okay, he still has hair, I'm sorry.
This is sad, though. Because Sullivan was struck by lightning so many times, people were afraid to be around him because he was in such bad luck and were worried that they would get struck by lightning, too.
That's fair.
And in his older age, it really started to, like, bum him the fuck out.
Oh, buddy.
Sullivan once said, for instance, I was walking with Chief Ranger one day, and when lightning struck way off, the chief said, I'll see you later.
Oh, buddy.
And now...
Oh, no.
Sullivan died at the age of 71 from a self-inflicted gunshot wound in 1983 while lying in bed next to his wife, who was 30 years younger. I don't know why so many people mentioned that, but I just did because it was mentioned in, like, every article. Mm-hmm. Who didn't notice for a couple of hours.
Was it storming? Was he scared?
Apparently, I was reading that apparently he might have killed himself over unrequited love.
Oh.
So
maybe she did notice for those hours and was just like... Poor, but I love this man. Bring him back.
I know. Roy Sullivan is in the Guinness Book of World Records for most lightning strikes survived.
If someone breaks that record, I'm going to break their legs.
I know. It's all he's got.
Oh, I love him. I want to be his best friend.
The odds of getting struck by lightning 7 times in your life are 100 nonillion.
Nonillion?
I didn't know that was a number.
It's not in my book.
That's a 1 with 32 zeros behind it. And if you want to take a look at what that number looks like on paper, that's probably about how much money Jeff Bezos has.
Fuck that guy.
That's all my story today. I had another short one this week. But that is the story of Roy Sullivan, the human lightning conductor, or also known as Spark Ranger.
I love that. A lot. I want to know if there's, like... body compositions and stuff. I wonder if he just had, like...
I wish they would have looked at his body. A whole bunch
about, like, metal whatever shit.
Yeah.
Like, just iron... No, is iron good? I don't fucking know. But whatever, like, in his body.
Like, if he had, like, a lot of some kind of conductor or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's exactly what I thought when I was researching.
That's wild.
But it's crazy. And apparently, like, he said that he's gotten struck by lightning a couple more times, but, like, they're not documented, so they don't count
them. I believe
him. I fucking believe him, too.
I believe him. Why would you, like... If he's having such a bad time about it, you don't... It's, like, same thing with aliens. You don't just say that shit. I believe him. Because, like, why would you lie about getting struck by lightning? You're not getting money from it.
I know.
You're not winning anything. You're having a horrible time.
There's his hat.
Oh! Let me see! Oh, my fucking
There's another
God.
Picture of him wearing it that made Brian crack the fuck up.
I need... What is it? Oh, my God.
Roy Sullivan.
Oh, I love this man. I want to be his best friend. Oh! And he's, like, old when this shit's happening, too.
Yeah.
He's, like, an old-ass man.
And, like, he worked at... I think I did the math, and I think he started working at the Ranger station when he's, like, 24?
I love him.
Yeah, and he, like, just retired working
there. I want to be his best friend.
I know. Whenever I read that he committed suicide, I, like had to grieve him.
He had a bad time.
Watch your, metal intake. Don't eat a bunch of metal food with metals in them.
Yeah, maybe he was just eating, like, iron shavings every day or something.
Ooh. Ooh.
Do you have like a story that you want to close with? Like, a personal story? Ghost story?
I can
story?
Say... No! I can mention two things briefly.
Okay.
So, this one's, like, literally a sentence. When I was little... Because I was talking to my mom about how, oh, I've never seen ghosts and stuff or never seen anything. She told me that when I was little, I had an imaginary, I didn't have one imaginary friend. I had an entire family of imaginary friends.
No.
Yes. And they all had names and shit. And I do not remember this at all. But apparently I had an entire, like, legit family of people I would, like, talk to.
I don't like that.
I don't either, because I don't remember it.
Oh,
I remember
no.
pretending I had an imaginary friend, and then one of them was Wonder Woman, and the other one was a crocodile.
Mine was named Bob, and he was very tall.
I loved Wonder Woman. I didn't even know anything about her. I think I thought she was pretty.
Aww.
The other one, I mentioned it last episode. The
Did
dog
we record
that runs
it?
Sideways.
Oh, yeah, the dog running sideways.
So, my... Okay. And I don't know what road it is. It's like Old Something Road in Luella, Texas.
Old Ida Road.
You go down there at night and you'll see it's a huge black dog. And it, you know when cats get scared and they poof up and do that little sideways hop at you?
Yeah.
It's, except a dog is doing that sideways run, like it's been hit by a car and fucked up, and it runs at you.
I don't like that.
It's got, like, red eyes, and it's like a Doberman or, like, some, like, huge, like, beefy dog, and
Damn.
It runs at you.
I just got so many fucking recovered memories just now about dogs. Like,
my brother, I don't know if my brother saw it or he was with a friend who saw it, but, like, someone I know has seen it. It's, like, a thing.
That's crazy. On Old Ida?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I used to...
I'm pretty sure.
drive down that road.
Yeah, the dog that runs sideways is fucking... Remember that one time we decided we were going to go tag some signs?
Uh-huh.
And we put some really shitty ones up. It was scary.
Harlow and I did bad, bad things.
I tagged a sign.
And I tagged a sign.
That didn't work out.
We were too nervous. Shit. And we were on back roads. Like, people shoot these fucking signs for fun. Yeah, yours wasn't. Yeah. Mine was.
It was so stupid. But yeah, those are my stories. I'm going to have to ask my mom about that again.
Yeah, that's I want to hear more about your spooky family.
I know
family.
Also that in my nanny's house, they built it themselves. But, like, there is a hall. There's, like, a hallway in the room and then the bedroom, an office, and another bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I hate that hallway. Something in me, like, fucking hates it. And it's terrifying.
That's, like, my grandma's house, like, where Stevie's...
And it's always been like that.
Yeah. In my grandma's house, where Stevie's room was, she moved out because she's an accomplished young woman, and I'm so proud.
Stevie, I love you.
But she, my great-grandma used to live in there whenever my granny would take care of her. And I used to be so scared of that room because there was, like, a rocking chair, like, in the corner. Mm-hmm. And there's something so ominous about, like, walking past a really dark room.
And it's weird because, like, we would go and, like, we would play in, like, the back office room all the time. And it wasn't scary in there. But something about just the fucking hallway scared the
shit
out of me.
That's so crazy. And you have such good intuition whenever you're a kid.
Man, I know. I need to get into some spooky shit and figure stuff out.
Get a Ouija board. Don't get a... Play this one on my shirt.
On your fucking titties?
On my... I got a Ouija board on my boobies. Okay.
Boo.
Oh, that's cute. Every time I wear this shirt, I'll think of that.
Oh, yeah.
I wear this shirt all the time. Okay, everybody. As of now, we should be on a lot of podcast sites. I know that most of you guys are listening on Spotify because that was the big boy that approved us.
Mm-hmm.
We apparently have gotten news that we're on the iTunes store. I'm having a hard time finding us, but I do have a friend that just listened on iTunes. And if you're able to find us on iTunes, please... Please give
I
us
owe
a rating.
You my life. Rate us
and like write a little blurb on us,
mm-hmm.
and just let us know how we're doing. Harlow and I can't appreciate the overflowing support that we've already.
You guys
received
have been
guys.
So fucking nice, and honestly, we're taking like criticism, no matter what, and like listening to it and reading it and trying to figure out how we can make this like show better.
Be gentle, because Alexa can't handle criticism.
If you are mean, I will break your legs. You can give good criticism without being a dickhole, so please do not. I will cry.
But yeah, you guys can find us on pretty much any podcast listening app. I'm trying to figure out Google Play right now. It was a little difficult for me, and I'm trying to get us on Stitcher, too.
Nice.
So if you guys like us, comment us, subscribe us,
save
follow
our,
us,
download whatever.
Download the fuck out of it. Download it on every device you've got. Make 6 different accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Give us 6 different 5-star reviews. But yeah, so you can follow us at The Cob Pod. That's at @thecobpod. And our website is cornonmacabre.com. And Harlow did put up a submission form.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have spooky stories that you want to share with us that we can close out our podcast with when we have a shorter episode, we'd love to hear it.
Mm-hmm, for
and
sure.
And love to share it. And just make sure, I don't know, Harlow, did you put in a spot for pronouns on that?
So on the submission thing, it has an option where you can just type in your preferred name and your pronouns in there.
Awesome.
So yeah, do whatever's comfortable for you. Send us your spooky shit.
And if you want it to be anonymous, just put anonymous. And if you don't mind throwing a pronoun in there, just so we can
use we don't a word.
But yeah, we appreciate everybody so much.
Bye.
But goodbye.
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 Why?